step two, step three. Step one, step two, step three.
Walk your shoes.
Thy words a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet.
Walk your shoes, walk your shoes.
Hello, Shelter Rock friends and family. My name's Nathan, and I'm one of the teaching pastors here on staff. It's an honor and a privilege to be with you today as we begin a new series, a new journey, really. For the next several weeks, we're going to take a walk down the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to explore the lives of people who trusted God, people of whom God testifies to their faithfulness. They're offered as a pattern for us to follow, and we're going to aim to walk by faith just as they did. But why walk by faith? Why even take the first step? I mean, why is faith so important? The Bible says that the righteous person will live by faith. Whatever is not from faith is sin. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whoever comes to God must believe. God's uncompromising demand for faith can't be ignored. I mean, the righteous person will live by faith. You know, this is the only verse from the Old Testament that's actually quoted three times in the New Testament. It's actually quoted in Hebrews 10, right before our passage today. Faith is vitally important, and we often struggle to understand it and develop it. I mean, sometimes you hear people say, if I just had faith, God would dot, 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 rescue my marriage, heal my body, lift this depression, supply my needs, save my children. I've heard a lot of that last one, save my children. My sister Natalie's been praying for many years for her children. Some of you may have heard the story of one of her son's journeys. That's my nephew, Gaddon. I've preached about him before, but I'd like to tell you about her oldest son, Jathan. They both have unique names. Jathan is just a combination of my name and my brother Jason's. Natalie, or Nan as we call her, has been praying for him for decades. Yesterday, I spoke to her and I asked her, what motivates her to have faith and trust God for him? She told me about a time she and Jathan went to church in 2005. She said it was April 13, 2005, when we went to church. Jathan was just 16 years old, and there was a guest speaker at church that day. She came back to my son and had him stand up and said, do you play the guitar? He said, well, no. She said, well, by this time next year, you will be, and you will also sing and play for the Lord. You will use your talent to play for the Lord. So in February 2006, 10 months later, he picked up his dad's guitar. And of course, this memory had escaped her at this point. She didn't even remember the prophecy at that time or this word of knowledge that this lady had given. But in 2 weeks, his dad came home from work and went upstairs to turn the radio off. But it was our son playing the guitar. It wasn't the radio. He came back down and said, Natalie, it took me 15 years to perfect that song. He's done it in 2 weeks. Keep in mind, he's never picked up a guitar and practiced until that February. When Eric said that, the prophecy or the word of knowledge came back to my mind, she said. So I hold on to that word that he got. It's a hope. It's a vision. The first half came true, so I know the second half has to come true. She went on to say he started using heavy drugs when he was about 23 years old. He spent 7 years on them. He's been completely clean for a year, completely clean. But he still has a lot of spiritual problems. He's not where he needs to be. He's still in bondage to a lot of sins. And she says, I'm praying for him, for his salvation. I'm trusting God for the vision to come to pass. I have faith that God will finally save him. You see, faith is clearly important, but what is it exactly? What is it that God desires so much that people strive to understand and develop? What precisely is this thing called faith? Well, a simple definition of faith might be something like this. Faith is active trust in God displayed through loyal obedience. Now, it's not mere mental assent. Faith is active trust in God displayed through loyal obedience. I mean, now, that's a mouthful, and I get it, and it'll have to be unpacked, but, you know, Hebrews 11 actually spends more time depicting faith through the lives of faithful people than actually providing a precise definition of the word. You know, our understanding of faith is going to grow over the next few weeks as we explore the lives of these faithful people. Still, it's important from the outset to try to understand the nature of faith and its characteristics. What is the essence of faith and what is its effects? I mean, what does God's Word have to teach us about faith? Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read the first three verses, and it says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." From this passage, there are at least three things I want us to understand about faith. Faith stands, faith steps, and faith sees. Faith stands on God's Word. Faith steps towards God's promises, and faith sees only the character of Christ. Let's examine each one of these in turn. Faith stands on God's Word. Verse 1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is a substance. It substantiates something. It's an essence. It is concrete in some sense. The Greek word hypostasis literally means to stand under. It describes something that undergirds, that supports or bears up, something that's solid that you can confidently stand or lean on. Like the girders that support a bridge and hold it up, so faith substantiates the hope we have. Like whatever is supporting these stairs that I'm standing on, faith undergirds reality, and it comes from God's invisible Word. And God commends those who stand on His invisible Word. Take a look at verse 2. It says, "For by it people of old received their commendation." God testifies about their faithfulness. God, in a sense, brags on those who tenaciously stand on His Word. And this is the effect of faith. Commendation. God speaks a good word about you. And these faith heroes had good reason to stand on God's Word. I mean, verse 3 tells us that by faith, notice those two words, they begin 18 sentences in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. God's spoken Word created the universe and upholds it. Genesis 1 says that, well, in the beginning God created, and then it says, God said, He spoke, "Let there be light." And earlier in the book of Hebrews, we're told, the Son is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. Actually, that word is hypostasis. And He upholds the universe by His powerful Word. God's Word is upholding the universe. Hearing God's spoken Word produces faith, and this gives substance to our hope. Faith makes spiritual things a physical reality. Faith makes spiritual things a physical reality. God's powerful Word is trustworthy. You can stand on it. You can lean on it. You can put all your weight on it, and it's going to bear you up. It's going to sustain you. Faith stands on the Word of God. You know, I asked my sister Natalie, I said, you know, what is it that faith means to you? I mean, what's your understanding of it? She said, if God said it, then it's real. She said, I can stand on it no matter what the circumstances say. I can trust it. I can stand on it. But faith doesn't stand motionless. Faith actively trusts God's promises, even in the face of the seemingly impossible. The people that God commanded not only stood on His Word, but they stepped out and actively moved toward His promises. In the weeks to come, pay attention to the many heroes that actively pursued God's promises. They did this actively. You see, and this is our second point, faith steps toward God's promises. Even seemingly impossible promises. I mean, the walk of faith is a journey that involves many steps, but it begins with the first step. We have to take the first step. You know, one of my favorite images of this comes from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Indy finds himself facing an impossible situation that can only be bridged by faith, by actively trusting the words he's received. Take a look at this scene.
Must hurry! Come quickly! It's a leap of faith. You must believe, boy. You must believe.
Maybe you're facing a seemingly impossible situation in your life right now. Maybe God has given you a promise that seems, well, to defy reality, and you're almost afraid to make a move, not sure what to do. Well, faith often requires that we step out onto the invisible promises of God. God's promises, His words, will bear us up. Remember, just as in the scene that we just saw, we're required to take the first step. We must actively trust in God's word. It's not just mental sense. We have to be active. We must actively trust in God's invisible promises, even when they seem, well, impossible. And this can seem scary, but we often do this without giving it much thought. I mean, although it's rare that we do it when we're facing seemingly impossible circumstances, but we do this quite a bit. You know, I live on the second story in a house. I rent a room, and when I come out late at night from my bedroom, I won't turn on the lights. The reason is partly I don't want to wake anyone up, but as I walk down the stairs, I'm doing it without the lights being on. So as I step down, each step I take downward, I just trust that the step below me is going to bear me up. It's going to hold me up. You know, I don't see it exactly. In a sense, it's invisible to me, but I have come to trust that each step I take will bear me up. God's word is similar. But you see, walking on familiar territory is one thing. I walk up and down these steps all the time. How can I step out on promises that seem, well, unfamiliar or impossible? How can I actively trust in those situations, in seemingly impossible situations? How do I have faith and obey God in the midst, well, of uncertainty? Well, Romans 1:5 says that faith leads to obedience. The faith heroes in Hebrews 11 are commended for their loyalty, not their certainty. Now, this is important. The faith heroes that we're going to read about for the next several weeks, they're commended for their loyalty, not their certainty. This is so important. Faith is not about striving for certainty. It's about striving to remain loyal, faithful in the midst of uncertainty. Take a look at verse 1 again, especially the second half. Remember, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now notice the second part, the conviction of things not seen. See, this Greek word for conviction, elikos, has the connotation that it is a conviction that arises from evidence. This means that faith involves embracing a vivid vision or hope of an anticipated future that in turn gives rise to a compelling conviction that moves us toward that future. God gives us a promise, a hope, an anticipated future, and faith gives us the conviction to step toward it. Martin Luther King was a man with such a vivid vision, a dream. He said, I have a dream or a hope. He said, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. At least these words are attributed to him. I mean, this quote can't be found directly in any of Dr. King's writings, but it is substantiated by Mary Edelman, who knew Dr. King. She said, I was impressed by his leadership, but I think I was impressed even more by the fact that he was an adult and he was not afraid to speak of his uncertainties, his fears. He introduced me to the idea of taking one step even if you can't see the whole stairway when you start. I think because of that, I have a much greater capacity to accept failure and move on. Well, these are profound words. And you see, faith isn't perfect certainty. It's not about being perfect or seeing the whole picture at once. Faith is a conviction that compels us to remain loyal and to be obedient to the vision that God's given us. It compels us toward the future that God has promised us. And this is exactly what Dr. King did. He persevered in the face of adversity by loyally obeying God and not shrinking back from the vision, the hope that God gave him. His conviction moved him to remain loyal and obedient toward a future of which he didn't even see the fullness. Now, Dr. King, he's a lot like the people mentioned in our text. And if we back up just a couple of verses to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39, we see God say this, my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I have no pleasure in him. But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and obtain life. Now note the we. We live by faith. We don't shrink back. We obtain life. People of faith remain loyal and obedient, and that brings life. Now, you might be saying, I'm not so sure I'm one of those we. I'm not so sure that I'm a person of faith. I'm not so trusting, really. I'm not very faithful. I can never please God. I mean, now, if you identify with those words, I have good news. The most faithful person in the Bible, the one who was the most loyal and obedient, the greatest hero in the story is Jesus Christ. His loyalty and obedience, they're on full display when he willingly humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus, truly God and truly man, he willingly laid his life down for you and for me. This is the very definition of faith. I mean, Jesus not only stood on God's word, he is God's word, the word incarnate, and he stepped out in faith, walking all the way to the cross, obeying God to the very end. He's the very character of God. He is trustworthy, worthy of our trust, loyalty, and obedience. And this brings us to our last point. Faith sees only the character of Christ. Faith isn't blind. It stares directly into the face of Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Jesus' death on the cross forever settles what God's attitude is toward us. He loves us. Jesus' death demonstrates the character of God. When he extends his arms and he dies for you and me, he proves forever who God is. He can be trusted. Again, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. But notice the second half. After making purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Jesus made purification for our sins, for your sins, for my sins, so that we can be part of the hall of faith. You can put your trust in him, in his word, in his character, in his self-sacrificial love. He won't fail you. You know, God taught me a valuable lesson about active trust when I was just a teenager. I was 16 years old, the same age as Jathan when he received that word in the church. You see, when Jathan was born, he was my first nephew. My sister Nan was young when she gave birth. I'm 16 years old, and I used to do something with him. I used to take him in as he was a toddler learning to walk, and I'd set him on the kitchen table. And I would put my hands out like this and just tell him to come on, and he would begin to walk to the edge of the table. And here was the interesting thing. He would only be looking at me, and do you know what he would do? He would actually leap off into thin air, and I would catch him. I caught him every time. I mean, this is my nephew, and God taught me something by that. He only focused on me. I set Jathan up a second time and a third time, and he would repeat the same thing over and over again. I would hold my arms out. He would walk toward me, only looking at me, not to the right, not to the left, not looking down, and he would just step off into thin air. This little boy had faith. This is childlike faith. And he had faith because he trusted me, a fallible person with limited knowledge, limited power, and, well, I'm just not perfectly good like God. So this little boy who later on played guitar, who later on went through a time of drugs and heavy drug use, this boy who my sister continues to pray for, taught me something about faith. God taught me something about faith through him. See, my sister has been actively trusting God for this little boy for a lot of years now. And the journey has been long and has felt uncertain, but there's a conviction that moves my sister's prayers and actions toward an anticipated future where Jathan is free and living for God, Jesus. I mean, she's taking it one step at a time. This is the journey of faith. And I'd like to invite you to take just one more step. I mean, not a blind leap, but one with your spiritual eyes and ears wide open to the character of God displayed through his son, Jesus. You can leap into his arms and he will faithfully catch you. You can step out in faith and God's promises will bear you up. They'll sustain you. They will save you. You can put all your weight on God's promises and they'll bear you up. You can begin this journey today. And I would like to invite you right now. If you don't know Jesus, I'd like you to take that first step, not a blind leap, but with your eyes wide open, jump into the arms of this person, Jesus, who died for your sins, who God raised from the dead. Can we pray? Father, I pray for every person who's watching this sermon, Lord, that you would go into their homes where they are right now. If they don't know you, Holy Spirit, I pray that you reveal Jesus to them. I pray that by your Spirit, you help them to turn to Jesus and away from sin, Lord, to jump wholly into his arms, God. Lord, that you would cause them to take the leap of faith as they stare into the face of the pioneer and the perfecter of their faith. God, help them to know you. And if this sounds good to you, if you say, I want to be part of the we, then just pray with me. Father, I ask that you save me, that you forgive me of my sins. I'm a sinner, Lord, and I need your help. Will you forgive me? Will you wash me clean? Will you make me part of the hall of faith? Will you make me part of the we? Help me to serve you, to live for you. Help me to walk in faith. Help me, God, to be loyal and obedient to you in Jesus' name. And for all those who maybe you've been struggling with your faith for a while and you're just wondering, what is faith? Well, faith is active trust in God that's displayed through loyal obedience. And faith stands on God's word. It steps toward God's promises, and it sees only the character of Christ. It's not about being perfect. It's not about knowing everything with certainty, but it is remaining loyal to Jesus in the face of uncertainty. God bless you. I'll see you soon.